Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning, St. Louis. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host, and I'm the director of horticulture at Pointer Landscape here in St. Louis. Today, I have a really awesome special guest for you guys. She's almost like an institution here in St. Louis. She laughed when I said that. She's a sustainability expert that's been with the Earthways Center of the Botanical Garden for 30 years. She works as a green resource specialist and is on the leadership team for Biodiversity, supports the St. Louis Green Business Challenge, and generally, you're just kind of out in the world advocating for native plants and sustainability and education about all of that stuff. Jean Ponzi, welcome to the Garden Hotline.
Green girl at your service, Michelle.
Sorry, we're having a mic problem over there. It's right behind you. Jean is here again from the Missouri Botanical Garden Earthway Center. Are we ready now?
Right button.
We got it.
Okay.
You had a little technical difficulties.
Hot dog. Green girl knows where the buttons are.
That's
mostly.
Right. You're here to talk about sustainability, not technology.
I'm here to talk about plants.
I like that song.
Thank you. It's a plant marching song.
It's your song about plants. I like that you do that. I often just kind of break out into song from time to time, so maybe we can write a song later. But thank you again for coming here. It's like I saw you last weekend at the community college, had that really great event, and they had an open house that Friday night, and the next day they had a couple of speakers, Doug Tallamy and Austin Eichheit, I think is how you say it. But we ran into each other at the break, and I kind of flagged you down and said I was fangirling a little bit in the lobby and asked you to come on the show. So really great to have
you. It's mutual, Michelle. I'm so glad that you're doing the Garden Hotline and get to talk to people here on the Voice of St. Louis on KMOX. It's exciting.
Thank you. So we were kind of talking about what subject we can talk about. We're kind of in the fall, so we want to talk about what kind of sustainable fall practices we can get into as gardeners.
Well, hopefully we'll get some rain today, and then we'll see. Maybe a little bit of fall color. There's one tree in my block that is turning colors, but it's been so dry. It's really hard for the the chemicals to move around the trees. But what if we start with leave the leaves?
What is that, leave the leaves? I see it all over my social media. I see signs in people's yards. So what are we talking about when we say leave the leaves?
Well, A, it's less work for us humans. And B, it's really good for the beneficial insects that are pollinating our plants, and insect populations are in decline, but I'm not going to start with the horrendous stuff. So many species of butterflies and moths and some bees overwinter in leaf litter. They drop off the trees where they've been reproducing, especially under oaks and some of our other species that support many different kinds of insect reproduction, insect larvae. And in the fall, those insects drop off and they go into the leaf litter, or they burrow shallowly into the soil and they spend the winter down there tucked under cozy little leaf blankets if the leaves are there. And then in the spring, they emerge, either the larvae emerge and they pupate, they go into their little chrysalis stage and then they turn into butterflies and moths again, or their eggs and they emerge and they're caterpillars and then they go up the trees. And you might not think that this is a really important thing, but if you are a bird and you are raising baby birds,
yes,
your baby birds are not going to eat the seeds that people generously put out in their bird
feeders.
Yeah,
they want that protein.
Protein. And they get that from larvae, caterpillars. So to keep the cycle of insect reproduction going, and those insects are also pollinating all our plants, and they're really the underpinnings of life, those little things that run the world is what biologist E.O. Wilson called them. So when we leave the leaves that fall under the trees, we're mimicking what happens in forest conditions and letting that reproduction go through its overwintering into spring cycles. And we don't have to rake all that stuff up and bag and buy bags and stick it out on the curb and all that.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean you have to worry about your turf. We get a lot of questions at the botanical garden about, is this going to kill my grass if I leave leaves? No. If you have, you know, basically the layer of leaves on your grass, it's not going to kill them. And if you want to keep the turf where you walk clear of leaves for the winter, just rake them in under the trees, around the drip line, around the outside edges of where the branches are. That's called the drip line because water drips down there. And that's where the insects are going to be. They're not going to be crawling all over the yard. If your neighbor is very trimmy-wimmy and they are not wanting to leave their leaves yet.
Is that the technical term for it? Trimmy-wimmy?
Trimmy-wimmy.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
It's hyphenated. Oh. Trimmy-hyphen-wimmy. Then rake your leaves in from the edge of your yard so that your neighbors, you know, can do what they do and have a conversation about why you're doing what you're doing. You are helping insects continue their reproductive cycle and helping, especially if you're already, I hope you are, growing native plants, practicing what I like to call ecological landscaping, then you want to do everything you can to keep that nature cycle going and not just haul the stuff away. We call it leaf litter.
Yeah.
I like to call it leaf largesse, but that's sort of a dorky term that not everybody knows. Yeah. I don't know any other alliteration that is that good. I wish I did.
I'll work on that. But I mean, that's a pretty dorky one. I'm not sure if it's going to stick with everyone.
It's okay.
But I mean, we can try if you want.
If you were Marie Antoinette or you you know, inclined that way, leaf largesse would.
You put a hashtag in front of it, maybe it'll go viral.
Right.
It'll be fine.
Maybe, maybe not. So that's leave the leaves. And this is the time to be doing it. If you have ornamental trees like your Japanese maples or your selcovas or, you know, things like that, those are species of trees that are not host to very many, if any, kinds of insect larvae. But the native trees, all of our oaks, our native willows, black cherries, those are all trees that host many, many kinds of insect larvae. Even native tree species that are not super performers in terms of being insect hosts, like tulip poplar, one of my favorite urban shade trees, fast growing, sturdy, wonderful shade trees. Keep the leaves under them. And if you're and over winter, that's when you can start planning your soft landings garden around those trees Soft Landings is a program that was, it's an initiative that was started by Heather Holm, who is a WASP specialist.
Cool.
WASPs are so cool. And that means planning to plant kinds of plants that will form a bed, do well in shade, under that tree, and then you don't even have to think about what you're mowing or raking or any kind of thing like that. I used to mow up my leaves, like the first big fall of leaves before the beginning of December. Particularly, we have a big old southern magnolia right behind my house that we planted in honor of my husband's mother. She had one behind their house. And that is not a native species, and the leaves are real leathery.
Super thick.
Yeah, yeah. So if I wait until spring, I have piles of leather that I have to deal with. But this year, I'm not going to do that mowing. I may move some leaves around and see if we have an increase. I hope we will have an increase in insects on my place next year. So that's Leave the Leaves. It's an initiative, especially from the Xerxes Society, which is an international society that advocates for insect health.
Especially bees, right?
Especially bees, yes.
Yeah. That's super interesting. I can't wait to dive more into this. You know, I think a lot of our listeners out there are always wondering, you know, they ask a lot of questions on how do we attract birds and how do we attract insects? And we think about what should we plant? We also often think about the flowers and the pretty things. And we often forget about the trees and the practices that we can do throughout the non-growing season to get those guys in. We're going to take a quick break. We want to listen to you guys, too. We want to hear what you guys have to say about this or any other fall sustainability practices. You can give us a call, 314-436-7900. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
And we're back to the Garden Hotline. I'm your host, Michelle Reeser-West, and I am joined today by Jean Ponzi from the Green or the Earthway Center at MoBot. Jean, first of all, let me give out the phone number in case anybody wants to call and talk to us about fall practices or any of the things we've been talking about so far, anything else that's on your mind about your garden, 314-436-7900. But Jean, can we talk about the Earthway Center a little bit? And tell us what is it?
Happy to. So Earthway Center is celebrating our 25th year as part of the garden, as the sustainability division of the Missouri Botanical Garden this year. And the garden's mission is to discover and share knowledge about plants and their environment in order to preserve and enrich life. And we are the and the environment part of that mission. We are professionals in energy and communication, that's myself, education, waste minimization, all kinds of specialties that come together in a team, and we address the things that plants need to thrive. Plants need clean air, clean water, healthy soil to thrive, and human impacts on those things that plants need, that's what we are addressing. So we have programs for school kids and teachers. We work with colleges and universities, businesses. We do professional trainings for several sectors, for like building operators, teachers. We just started to do professional trainings for building inspectors, so when they're going out and they're inspecting properties that have native landscapes, they know what they're looking at and they can evaluate it if there are complaints. We work a lot in the community, and we're the Missouri Gateway Green Building Council is a part of the team at the Earthway Center, including the Green Schools Quest, which is a fabulous program that works with student and teacher teams and pairs professional mentors. You or I could be mentors, Michelle, in the Green Schools Quest to assist students in doing sustainability projects in their school that they determine. So we have a lot of stuff that we're doing. You mentioned biodiversity, St. Louis.
Yep.
That is an initiative of the garden since 2012. We're kind of a network. We're the hub of the wheel of a network of over 100 different organizations in St. Louis that are doing stuff related to biodiversity. It could be native landscaping. It could be rainscaping. The That's another thing that we do. It could be honeysuckle hacking or clean stream stuff or outdoor education. And we have a e-newsletter and we have web pages and we have events. And we helped bring all those organizations together in a network so that we can better educate people and engage people around protecting biodiversity, biological health in our region. A lot of stuff that we do, and over 25 years of the garden, I'm really proud of the fact that we've helped to advocate for and educate about things like solar energy, and energy efficiency is huge, recycling, composting, and then ecological landscaping, using the power of plants to do things like rainscaping. That's managing stormwater.
Sure.
And I bet there are a bunch of your listeners that have gotten or have explored getting a grant from MSD Project Clear
yep.
to implement a rain garden or another kind of strategy to help keep water out of the basement and slow down the water that runs and overflows our storm systems. We run that rainscaping small grants program. I managed a program for the last 15 years. I'm now supporting my colleague, Jacqueline Jezik, who took it over, called the St. Louis Green Business Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
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 Which we'd like to get Pointer Landscaping
in next
year. I would
love it. I think they'd probably be scared to have you there, but we're really trying to make some, you know, small changes.
We are not terrified.
And I'm glad to hear that. But I think that's a good point to bring up, too, is that, you know, a lot of people hear all of this stuff and they hear about natives and they hear about, I mean, it's a lot to learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think some people can be not only overwhelmed by it, but, you know, I think some of us plant people and sustainability people, some of us can be a little maybe snobby about it. I don't know what the right word is, mm-hmm. but, you know, like I think some of us are a little bit
parochial
in your face.
Like, this
yes.
is the right way. You
yes.
should do this.
Yes. And for me, and even in this show, you know, like I want to make it more approachable to people,
uh-huh.
you know, like I start small, you know, like
yep.
we don't have to change everybody's everything in everybody's daily lives. But there are small things like leaving the leaves
yeah.
or planting a native tree or, you know, starting to try to recycle more or make better choices when
yeah.
when you're using your money
yeah,
out in
yeah.
the world, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I like that you say that you're not scary, but yeah, I would love to, let's talk about getting somebody from the business challenge, the Green Business Challenge out. And that was the first time I became aware of you was several years ago. You came to speak to our local
Landscape and Nursery Association
of St. Louis. You came and talked to us about that Green Business Challenge, and I think that's a great program. I think that's a lot of times how these things can start is getting you know, local businesses involved. But it really sounds like that the Earth Waste Center has their hand in so many things. I think it's really cool
yeah.
To hear. And what a great resource for us as St. Louis to have something like that. If our listeners are interested in learning more about that Earth Waste Center, I think I saw online you guys have like a hotline that people can call and ask questions.
It is called the Green Resources Info Service. And we take questions at any time by email or by phone. The email address is greenresources@mobot.org. And the phone number is 314-577-0246. And a real person will answer your question, any question about sustainable living. I happen to be that person.
Are you really?
I am.
So
I am
we
the Garden's Green
number,
Answer Girl.
That's amazing. So we would get you.
It's super fun. It's one of my favorite parts of my job. When I was a little kid, I grew up in Milwaukee, and the Milwaukee Public Museum had a you could call the library. They had an answer service, 275-7678. And I called them all the time. And getting, you know, so, you know, you have a specific question like, what's green about this? Where do I get it? How do I get rid of it? Is that really a true claim or is that greenwashing? And then sometimes really specific concerns. It's wonderful that we are able to provide that service. And the Green Resources Hotline is a first cousin to our Plant Information Service,
yeah.
our Horticulture Information Service, which has been going for decades. We've been Green Resources since 2007. Horticulture Answer Service wears Hawaiian shirts. Green Resources wears Birkenstocks.
Is that the Horticulture Answer Service? Is that part of the Center for Home Gardening?
Yes.
We're having someone from there on next week to talk about some fall gardening gardening tasks. We're having Flo Smith on next week from there. So
That's wonderful.
So next week we can talk about their hotline. And speaking of hotlines, you know, you guys can call and ask myself or Gene any of your questions related to gardening, related to, you know, sustainability or any of the things that we've been talking about or things that we haven't gotten to yet. You can give us a call, 314-436-7900. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. I am your host, Michelle Reeser-West. I'm also the director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape Architecture here in St. Louis. My guest today is Jean Ponzi. She's a sustainability expert with the Earthway Center of the Missouri Botanical Garden. And we have been talking about all kinds of awesome things, but we finally have our first caller. We have Kristen on the line. Kristen, go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks. I enjoy your program. I always learn something. Leave the leaves. Can you grind your leaves up with the mower and then like put them around for mulch? Does that help the bugs any, or you have to leave them whole and don't grind them and leave them where they fell?
Hi, Kristen. Thanks for calling. I have been doing that for the last several years, and then it suddenly dawned on me, my tiny mind, I'm grinding up the bug stuff along with the leaves. So no more mowing the leaves. Just you can move them around. You can pile them up underneath your trees, but it really is counterproductive if you're going to be supporting the insects by leaving them to mow them up.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a great question. And, you know, a lot of people want to use their leaves for other things, like they want to make compost and things like that.
You'll still have some.
You can definitely still use some of those leaves. And you can also wait till spring, too. You know, after right. all of those things have emerged and are and the season has gotten up and going, you can still, you know, use some of those leaves that you put maybe in your garden beds or the sure. ones that you left in the turf. You could still use that stuff later on.
Right. And some people are concerned about oaks. If you have oak leaves that they're going to be too thick, that yep. they're not going to break down. They really do break down. And if you, you know, think about a forest under trees, what happens is the leaves fall and then they break down and all that stuff returns to the soil. And in the soil or under that leaf cover, that's where the insect reproduction continues on through its cycle. So I am not going to grind up bug parts this year. I solemnly swear.
I'm gonna hold you to that. And I think that's a great point about you know, bringing up where these plants are in their native locations. These plants aren't covered with rock mulch or big chunky bark mulch or things like that. They're a lot of our plants are surrounded by other plants
yes.
in like prairie situations, or they're in our woodlands and they're yes. surrounded by your leaf litter. I'm sorry, we're not calling it leaf litter.
Leaf largesse.
They are surrounded by leaf largesse. Is that where
And then you have to make your lip do a really funny thing when you say that. Largesse.
I cannot do it. So yeah, so think about when we're, you know, when we're thinking about gardening and things like that, try to think about where these guys are in their, you know, everyday lives. They're not hanging out in big thick piles of mulch. It's the leaf. So great question from
Kristen.
We are going to go up next to Gretchen. Gretchen, you are on the air with the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. I have an acre and a third yard. I have a big hillside behind it, and then my yard levels out into a terrace. I am working on eliminating honeysuckle and grapevine from the hillside. I have a lot of mature oak trees on that hillside, and I'm wondering what I can plant underneath as an understory, bushes, what kind of native things would do well so that I don't just have bare earth between all these big trees.
Boy, this is, and you're asking this at a really good time. Thanks, Gretchen. So when you're taking out honeysuckle, it's really important to put something in soon so that the
right.
the seeds that have been in the soil of other invasive species don't sprout up. I'm going to defer to you, Michelle, about that. What do you think about, you know, I can talk about some ephemeral, some sort of ground level stuff, but in terms of bushes
sure.
and quickly holding soil.
So I, first of all, anybody who is out there removing invasives is like my best friend. And so
thank
I love.
You, thank you. Thank you kindly.
Thank you. Yeah. So great job on getting out all of that nasty stuff. And for all of you guys listening out there, fall is a wonderful time to be out in those, you know, edges of your yard or places like that that have that brush and the honeysuckle and the wild grape and all of that stuff. Fall is great, great, great time to be getting rid of that. So maybe even after it rains today, the ground will soften up and you can get out your shovel or whatever. So, but like Jean said, it's super important to plant something out there because plants cover earth, and it's either going to be something that you plant and something that you're dictating, or it's going to be the seeds that are left there or seeds to come or the weeds that come in after. So great option. Could be some ground covers, but doing, you know, some shrubs under there. It sounds like you have some mature trees, so you probably have a shadier situation. There are spice bush is one that comes to mind is a great one. It's a little bit of a bigger shrub in time, but that's a great one that helps our swallowtail butterflies and things like that. You can also do, you know, if you're on like the edge of a woodline, there's some sumacs that are really cool that you can use. And then again, getting something to cover the ground. So some ground covers that I can let Jean come up with. But also, you know, I think of things like carrots are a really great option that spread.
The sedges.
The sedges and things like that. Spring ephemerals, you know, want to name a few of those.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If you can plug in some Virginia bluebells, you know, daffodils, they're not a native species, but they're wonderful. And they naturalize. You get more daffodils. Mm-hmm. You can get them from Brightside or places like that at this time of year. squirrels don't eat them, which is amazing. I love the sumacs. I have two hedges of aromatic sumac, which mm-hmm. is a low-growing sumac in two corners of my yard. And my place is actually literally a little forest. We've grown a little forest. Black chokeberry, red chokeberry, yep. Those are nice bushes that get going quickly. Mm-hmm. You can start these as seedlings. You can, if you live in Missouri, you can order them from the Missouri Department of Conservation. They're very inexpensive. You can put them in the fall. If you live in a place where there's deer, seedlings are not going to be the greatest idea. They're not going to survive.
I know they're living creatures, Gene.
What part of town do you live in, Gretchen?
Up north along the hillside goes down to the Mississippi River.
Oh, wow. Okay. So are you in the city or are you in the county?
I'm in the city.
Okay.
Barely.
So then do you have deer in your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you can also get... you know, you could get the seedlings if you wanted to get seedlings from the conservation department and put them in, you know, maybe put them in some clusters and fence off those mm-hmm. clusters so yeah. that the deer can't get them through the fall. Forest Relief of Missouri also is a great source for getting native plants. And then you're supporting their project of growing trees and making trees available at no charge to nonprofits and the community. When you, mm-hmm. if you want to, I like to get a couple of big plants and then fill those in with the seedlings.
Yep.
Especially if you're doing something like sumac. That's how I got my sumac hedges. And when you go, when you want to get native plants, you go to the locally owned nursery. I haven't been to Chesterfield Valley, which is the sponsor of the Garden Hotline, mm-hmm. but I would check
they
them out.
They do a good job.
Good.
They have a lot of great trees. Tons of trees and a lot of great shrubs and perennials as well. But it's a good place to go.
So, you know, start loading in your bushes there where you're especially on your hillside, because you're not going to want to go back in there and do a lot of maintenance on a steep hillside. And then other plants that do well, Michelle mentioned any of the sedges that do well in shade, in the Carex, C-A-R-Y-X family. They are plants that will hold soil. They will help reduce runoff. I love wild ginger.
Wild ginger is great.
Oh, such a good plant.
That one's sometimes hard to get established, especially in the fall. So if you want to do that, I would maybe wait till the spring, but it's great. You can get them in little plug sizes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's relatively inexpensive, but wild ginger is a cool one, a great ground cover. I love that one. Ferns would be a great option.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. And when you get some plants that like where you're putting them, they will spread.
Yeah.
If they don't like where you're putting them, then you know, they're going to croak and then put them in the compost or whatever. But it's challenging when you have deer, because deer like to eat the native species. They don't eat the invasive species.
Yeah. They're not eating that honeysuckle. They're not out there eating that. Jerks.
So I would say start with some patches that you can fence, really fence well against deer. Once the plants get big enough and they get established, the deer are not going to be as inclined to eat them.
That's a great point. Okay. Yeah. Once they do nibble a little bit, a lot, they just are investigating what the new stuff is. So a lot of times, if you can keep them away at the beginning, they'll hopefully leave
deer
it alone.
Deer are giant bunnies.
Yeah. Gretchen, I hope that helped you. I think we got, a few good options on there, but let us know how that goes. Thanks for the call. We're going to go up next. We have Bunny on the line. Bunny. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, my question is, I have a huge holly bush, but I don't know when to prune it. Right now, there's bees all over it.
Yeah, so fall is not typically for me when I think about pruning. You know, at this time of year, especially since we're in a kind of like a drought situation, we want all of that energy that the plant is making right now to go right back down to the roots so it can make it through the winter. The other point that you made, which is great, is that bees are still visiting. So if the bees are still out there, I would definitely not want to prune those off. But you can, on your evergreens, guys, you can do any kind of pruning once it goes dormant. You know, we don't necessarily want to do it when it's frozen, but some dormant pruning is great, or just kind of waiting till next spring after you get a good flush of growth out of it. But for right now, most pruning, I would hold off until dormant season.
Okay, and dormant season would be like February or...
Yeah, that could be a great time. February is often a great time for dormant pruning because the temperatures are getting a little bit warmer. It's not as cold maybe as January. We don't want it to be freezing, and we don't want there to be a chance of things warming up and kind of getting things active when we're pruning. So February tends to be a good time for dormant pruning for sure.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bunny. And thanks all for all the callers. Those are some good calls. We're going to take a quick break. If you guys
Michelle,
want.
Can I just answer Dorothy's question? Dorothy called left us her question. Dorothy, thank you very much. You asked whether there were any things, any publications or anything from the Earthway Center, from the garden. I would encourage you to read the garden's blog, Discover and Share. That's little short articles, and there's a section in there about sustainability that we have from the Earthway Center, and also a lot of other good stuff about plants. You can find it online at discoverandshare.org, discoverandshare.org.
Yeah, thanks for that reminder for Dorothy's question. Another good one. So many great resources out there. You guys have any questions for us after the break? 314-436-7900. That's the number to call to ask myself and Jean all of your garden-related questions. We're going to take a quick break. This is 104.1 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm your host today and the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And my lovely guest that's been doing an excellent job answering all of your questions is Jean Ponzi. She is from the Greenway Center at, the Earthways. I keep making that mistake. The Earthways.
Green Earth.
I know. The Earthways Center at the Botanical Garden. So again, Jean, thanks so much for being here. It's been really great to have your voice for all of our listeners out there. We're going to go straight to the phones. We've had Linda waiting for a while. Linda, you're on the air. Thanks for your patience. What's your question?
First of all, I want to say thank you to your guests for talking about the leaves and the insects. I'm in Oakville Garden Club. We're having a meeting Thursday, and I'm going to convey that information because so many of us are talking about we haven't seen the butterflies this year that we normally see. So that was great information. But also, I want to ask, a listener called, I think it was last week, and said that she used baby shampoo, like a mild solution spray of that, to spray her plants, house plants, before she brings them in. I've got a bunch to bring in, and I bought the baby shampoo, but I don't remember how much to use.
I remember that call. Yeah, it was a great question. We were talking about bringing all of our plants inside, and if you guys haven't started doing that, and I am one of them, I think tonight might be your last night. I think tonight's overnight temperature is like 40 degrees. So get your stuff inside. I'm going to go home and hopefully get mine inside before it rains and before they get really heavy from the rain. But she was saying, and this is a good tip, she used baby shampoo, but really it's a mild soap, right? So anytime you want to bring all that stuff in, you can do two different things. You can make a mild soap and water solution and kind of spray off and wipe the leaves off and kind of get all those cobwebs and things off the leaves. And she was saying what she does is she uses a hose end sprayer, and she puts that baby shampoo or again a mild soap in there, and then mixes it with water. The thing about the hose end sprayer is that there's, you know, like it kind of mixes it for you. I think she said she put like a fourth of a cup or something in there. We just want like it to be diluted. It's really, when you're doing it in a small spray bottle, it's just a couple of tablespoons. And she was saying that she was really drenching really drenching those root balls. And it's important that you have drain holes in the bottom of those planters. So if you're doing this in a container that doesn't have a drain hole, you're going to have an issue. So make sure you have drain holes, and then you really want to drench. But honestly, I don't know the exact amount of that. I think it's probably like a 1 to... It depends on how you're doing it. But if you're using like a hose in sprayer, you could put, you know, if it's a Dawn dish soap, which a lot of people use, you just need a couple of drops, and that goes a long way. She was saying she was using just a baby shampoo, and I think she said she put like a fourth or a third of a cup in her hose in sprayer.
Yeah, that's what I seem to remember too. This seems like a lot, like it would make a lot of suds.
It seems like a lot.
Yeah. Another question. A lady gave me, she was on a garden tour, so I can't really contact her. She gave me a piece off of a Dutchman's pipe cactus. It's a really interesting plant, and I just looked it up, and it shows that it blooms this beautiful white night bloom eventually. It says it might take 3 years to get the blooms. But that one says, you know, do not, it does have some cobwebs. It's in kind of a smaller, probably a 6-inch pot, but I don't know if I need to put it in a bigger pot for winter or just wait till next spring. But, you know, I'm worried about drenching that. I do have a granular insecticide, you know, like for these plants too, that I could put on that. I could drench the leaves, but I don't know if I want to drench the root ball. It's saying, and I have given it like drips of water. I would say like maybe, you know, a few tablespoons at a time of water to that. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Growing up like crazy.
I think it's really going to depend on what kind of soil you have in your container. If you have just a typical potting soil mix, that's going to hold water. So if you really put a lot of water in there, that's going to be an issue for the cactus because it doesn't want to hold on to all of that water. So if you have a good cactus blend in there that has a ton of sand and other larger aggregates where the water is going to drain, you could certainly, put that into a pot of water for like a couple of minutes and then take it out and it will drain. If, like I said, if it's regular potting soil, I would definitely not do that because you're going to drown that poor little cactus out. But I think that's always important when you're having cactus and things like that in containers to make sure you have the appropriate soil because they really do, they don't mind water. If you think about cactus in the desert, again, going back to their natural habitats, deserts will get large amounts of rain in a short amount of time, and then it won't rain again for, you know, months. So they can take a large amount of water for a short amount of time if there's drainage. So that is really my only caveat to that. Go ahead.
Next year I should get some of that cactus potting soil
for sure.
If I put it in a larger pot.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I know I had some, and I think I gave it away. Or maybe it's still down the basement. I'll look for it. But, okay, thank you so much. It was a great show.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate you calling and saying what you like, all that stuff about Leave the Leaves. I think it's something that we need to be talking about more, as stewards of this great place. You know, I think what Jean was saying at the beginning of the show, I think you kind of mentioned that, you know, the biggest threat to our environment is people, you know, so
yeah, we're kind of a big footprint.
Yeah. So it's really important for us to kind of learn ways to do that. So we're getting ready to go into our break at the end of this first hour. So if you guys have questions, please give us a call. We want to keep talking about this for the second half of the program. 314-436-7900. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. I am your host, Michelle Reeser-West, and I am the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. If you guys are just joining us, you may not know that my guest today... I said it at the beginning. She's kind of an institution here in St. Louis. sustainability expert that has been with the Earthway Center of the Missouri Botanical Garden for 30 years. She's a green resource specialist. She's an advocate for native plants. She's totally into educating people about sustainability and native plants and recycling and all of that good stuff. Jean Ponzi is back with us for the second hour. Jean, thanks again for being with us.
Yippee, super fun here on the Garden Hotline.
I think it is kind of
fun. It is.
We get to talk about plants for a couple hours. I always call myself a plant nerd. If you had to, are you a sustainability nerd? Like, what would you be if you were, insert word, nerd?
This is, it's kind of embarrassing, but I am Green Jean Ponzi.
What is embarrassing?
I did a show for a while on the Big 550 yes. KTRS, in addition to my longtime Earthworm show on KDHX, and that came out of there, because when I was getting ready to do the show, you know, you have the introduction that the announcer reads, and I wrote all that because I'm such a control freak. I wanted it to say exactly what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And then when I got into the studio for the first time and I heard the announcer that had done the record, and now here's Green Jean Ponzi, I felt just like Les Nessman on WKRP in Cincinnati.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. So Green Jean stuck, and now I really like it. I consider
you do like it
my artist name. Yes.
It's your artist name. I love it. Your artist name is Green Jean Ponzi. And that, I mean, that's not a bad artist name to have.
It's okay.
I like it a lot. Okay, we're going to go to Jane, because Jane has been a trooper.
Thank you, Jane.
Jane, you have been waiting to answer your question for so long. Go ahead. What is your question?
My question is... I don't typically overwinter geraniums, but I had a fabulous geranium this summer that just never stopped blooming, and I'd like to take a shot at keeping it over the winter. I understand there's a way to do it without dragging the pot in to put it in a paper bag, or didn't know if you had any more details on that.
This is a good question. I'm not, it's just like the annual geranium?
Yes.
I've not heard of overwintering it in a bag. Have you?
No.
No.
No, and actually, I've overwintered a begonia.
Yeah.
My husband got a really beautiful begonia when he turned 70, and he was very attached to it. So we overwintered that a couple of years and just brought the pot in. Just did, you know, the little spritz off the leaves
right.
And wipe off all
this
that.
This is a huge pot, so it would be, I'm not even sure I could carry it in, but.
I wouldn't take a plant like that out of a pot.
Well, if it's an annual, what if you like kind of like made it smaller? And I mean, if you're either going to throw it away or not bring it in, right? If you say you can't bring in this giant pot, I would find a friend if you want to keep it. You could roll it into your garage if your garage stays above, you know, if it's heated. A lot of people don't have that option. But if you, you know, are a risk taker, maybe you could transplant it into a smaller pot or try something like that. But it's risky for sure. I mean, if it's happy in the pot that it's in, I would try to get it inside. Maybe find some neighborhood teenager to carry it in for you.
And maybe get one of those little stands with the casters so you can put it on a rolling stand. And once it gets in, you can roll it around.
Yeah. If it's cool, it might be worth it, you know.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I'm sorry that we couldn't have a bulletproof answer for you. But thanks for your patience again, Jane. That's really great.
Thanks.
So before the break, we had that caller from the Oakville Garden Club.
Yes,
and
Linda.
Then over the break, you and I were talking and you brought up a good point. We want to talk about it.
So the Missouri Botanical Garden has our Green Resources Info Service. We take questions by email and by phone and also go out and speak to community groups. And I love to go out and speak to garden clubs and community groups, especially about ecological landscaping with native plants. So if you're interested in having that kind of a presentation, come to one of your garden club or community meetings. You can email us at greenresources@mobot.org. greenresources@mobot.org. We really, really like to do that outreach and bring the passion for this stuff to you.
Could you guys imagine how cool people would think you were if you showed up to your garden meeting with Green Jean Ponzi? It would be pretty great. I would definitely do it. I'm not involved with any garden clubs, though. I think that might be something for my future. Always like meeting up with fellow gardeners. That's always fun. We're going to go to our next caller. We have Margaret on the air. Margaret, go ahead with your question.
Well, my question is this. I have a plum tree in the backyard, probably 20 years old. And over the summer, or actually in about the last month, 5 weeks, a portion of it on the lower side has just looks like it's dead. All the leaves have fallen off. The limbs look like they're dead. The rest of the tree seems to be okay. I suspect it's probably drought, but I don't know that. But my question is kind of based on something you said last week. Is it appropriate at this point, and or do I want to have it trimmed, that portion trimmed out, or should I wait through spring and see if it comes back? I was under the impression that trimming it out would be a good thing to do now, but then I heard you say not necessarily in the fall is a good time to plant to trim.
So this is a great question. Thanks so much. So fall typically is not a time that we recommend pruning. We would say there's the three D's of pruning. It's diseased, damaged, or dead. Those types of pruning can be done no matter the time of year, especially, you know, if it's only a branch or two, that's not a major a prune. But going back to the tree or the issue itself, have you been out to or can you reach the limb that seems to be dying? Are you able to touch it at all?
Yes.
So if you go out to that limb, you could do like a scratch test. You could take your fingernail or your pruner or a knife or something that you can kind of scratch the bark. And if you scratch that bark and it scratches green, then that branch is still alive. If it doesn't scratch green, or it's like a really dull green that's fading to like a creamy or a brown color, then that means that branch is dead and you can go ahead and prune it. You have a 20-year-old tree. You know, a lot of times these more established trees are high value to people's properties. So if it's not something that you're willing to part with or willing to, you know, have to remove, if it is something more than just the drought that we're seeing, I always recommend getting an arborist out. It's really important for somebody to come out and put eyes on the tree and kind of investigate, is there a bacterial infection? Is there, you know, a bug infestation? Is the, you know, the crown of the tree, the root ball, needing some excavation? You know, maybe it needs a little bit of fertilization. Maybe it's just watering. So I always recommend getting a certified arborist. Don't just call a tree guy, because tree guys will come out and there's always tree guys that will come and cut down your trees. But get a certified arborist, somebody that knows what they're talking about in terms of plant health care, that can come and take a look at that for you. And a lot of folks will just come out first and do like a free estimate. A lot of them will charge just a small fee to come out and do it. But I think it's really important for us to take care of our trees. It's something that we often overlook, or we often think tree care is a DIY thing. But on older established trees, even younger trees can really benefit from an arborist coming and helping out in that way.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll try the scratch test first.
Try that first. And again, I like to wait and see. There are a lot of things that in my life that I'm just like, well, you know, some things we need to be, you know, active on and really get after it. There are things like, now we've been in a drought for the last couple of months. We've had drought last year. We had drought the year before. A lot of the stress that we're seeing now is from prolonged issues in our trees and shrubs. It's not just what's happening right now. Water thoroughly. Try to keep your plants, your trees watered, really deeply watered going into the winter, and then kind of see what happens as they emerge is really what my advice would be for you.
And is the watering going into the winter about the same as the watering for the summertime, like a half inch a week or whatever.
So it can be less. Trees don't necessarily need as much water going into winter. I always check it. As we approach like 40 degree temperatures, your tree should be watered around once a month, once or twice a month if it's not fully established. Again, we are in a drought. We're getting some rain. I'm looking out the window. It is raining right now. And don't be fooled by this rain. It may not be enough. A little bit less. They say, for every diameter, every inch of diameter, they need 10 gallons of water. So you can take that into consideration. But hopefully we'll have adequate rainfall and snowfall through the winter and you won't have to worry about it.
I'm really grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for your question. We are going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Garden Hotline. Phone number to call 314-436-7900. This is 104.1 KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host and the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And I am joined today by Green Jean Ponzi from the Earthway Center of the Missouri Botanical Garden. We're here answering all of your questions. I think we're doing a good job.
Having a great time.
We are having a good time. So we'll go straight to the phone line. We've had Tim waiting for a while. Tim, go ahead with your question. Tim, are you there?
Tim, go ahead with your question.
I can hear Tim. Tim, can you turn down your radio? We can hear your radio.
Yes. I have a question about mums.
Yes, what's your question?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
I have a question about mums.
Go ahead with your question about mums. Yeah.
Are they annual or perennial? Because I seem to see some that looks like they're coming back every year in the neighbor's yards. And I don't know if there's a certain kind you have to get that are perennials.
So that's a good question. There are hardy mums. And a lot of the mums that you are seeing around town are a hardy variety that you can plant afterwards that will come back every year. We were kind of talking on the break about mums, and I'm kind of, I hate to tell you this, Tim, but I might be a mum hater. And maybe Jean Ponzi can elaborate on that a lot. You know, they're typically used as annuals. People do put them in the ground and they can come back. But Jean can talk to us about maybe an alternative to mums that may be a little bit better.
Yeah, that beautiful fall color that you get, the color that you get from mums, that's what people love. And they mound. Right. They're nice little kind of poodly shape. But the alternative to mums that are perennials, that are super pollinator supporters in the fall when the insects are still out there feeding, is asters. Asters tend to be purple or lavender. I've seen some beautiful dark purple asters. Actually, I just got a free one the other day, which was very fun. Asters bloom in the fall. They will come back year after year. They tend to get kind of bushy and shaggy, but you can trim them down. You can prune them down throughout the spring. I usually stop pruning mine down until taming them down about the 4th of July.
Of July, yep.
And then they will start blooming in late September, October, and they will bloom until frost. Sometimes they'll even hang in there after the first frost. So it's the mums tend to be on the gold and yellow and red side, and the asters are purple. But if you want to stick in a mum because you like that gold color and you got asters too, the gold and the purple, actually there is research that shows that those two complementary colors are super attractive to pollinators, and they are the colors of the Minnesota Vikings. So if you're a Packers fan, you have to tolerate that. But I recommend, go for some mums, Tim. If you want a perennial plant that is going to be a really great contributor to pollinators and insects in your yard in the fall when other things have finished blooming, and you can stick a gold or a reddish mum in the middle of those if you want that color mix.
That's great.
So go with the asters, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, yes. We're going to give them a shot.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yes. Look, they kick aster.
They kick aster. Right. That's right.
Thank you.
I hope that didn't get bleeped. I didn't know that by having Gene Ponzi on the show, that would be the closest I've ever come to getting
bleeping.
Getting
no, I think we made it past
air.
That.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Aster.
Yes.
We'll enunciate.
Aster ACA.
I think,
the Aster
yes,
family.
We are changing the hearts and minds right here on the Garden Hotline.
Woohoo.
We're going to go to Jim. Jim's got a question for us about a tree that suckers. What's going on, Jim?
Okay, I got it's probably about 5 or 6 years old. It's a dwarf Sargentina crabapple. And the suckers that come up off the base, they've always been there, but the last couple of years they keep getting worse and worse. I mean, I've got to cut them down like probably 3 to 5 times a year. I don't know how I can get them out of there. I don't want to poison them because that'll probably go right to the base of the tree root. I just cut them off with the snippers, but I don't know if you can answer that. Another question about mums. I bought a hardy mum. It's still in the container. It's blooming real nice. I just put it in a concrete bowl decorative pot that I've got. Now, when the first frost comes, if I take it inside the garage to try to overwinter it, what would be the steps to overwinter it without planting it in the ground? Thank you.
Sure. So let's talk about your dwarf crab apple. So crab apples are notorious for sending up those suckers. So typically suckering on a tree can be an indication of stress. I think you said it was a few years old, but crab apples do sucker. And a lot of times, the crab apples are grafted, which means that the top of the plant was grafted onto a different rootstock down below. And at the site of the graft, it can send up those shoots. So there's not a lot you can do about it. And definitely do not put an herbicide on those suckers because that's going to take it right back into the rest of the plant. So unfortunately, the option for that is to just keep trimming them and to try to do it while they're still small, because the larger they get, the more your plant's going to be open to pest and disease. Crab apples, I want to say good things about them. I'll say a good thing about it. They're beautiful in the spring, mm-hmm. have beautiful blooms in the spring. They are often riddled with pest and disease problems. So it's just one of those plants that aren't always a long-term good option for us here, unfortunately. But yeah, as far as those suckers go, you're just going to have to keep pruning them off.
Okay.
Jim, if you wanted to look at a tree that could replace that crabapple at some point, I would suggest that you look at wild plum, Prunus americanus. The plum, it's not going to be a fruit producing plum, which is going to be happy for most people because not everybody wants fruit dropping. Wild plum is what is called a keystone species. These are species of plants or animals that can hold the structure in their community for the greatest diversity of life to thrive. So wild plums are they're an understory tree. They're an ornamental tree. They flower in the spring. Don't get super huge. In my experience, they haven't suckered. And they will contribute biodiversity to your place in addition to the beauty that your crab apple is giving you.
Yep, that's a great point. And then going to the mum, as far as overwintering mums, people typically don't do that. If you're going to overwinter, it would be like bring them inside as a house plant. You wouldn't really necessarily overwinter them in the garage.
They don't do much in the house over the winter,
no.
though.
I would just start
to get pretty droopy.
I might put them in my compost.
Compost is a great thing to do with plants because then all of that energy goes right back into the soil. In cycles we trust.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call, Jim. We really appreciate it. All right. Up next, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Garden Hotline on KMOX 104.1, the voice of St. Louis.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This is the Garden Hotline. I am your host, Michelle Reeser-West, and the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And my guest today, answering all of your garden-related questions, is Gene Ponzi from the Earthways Center of the Missouri Botanical Garden. You guys want to call and talk to Gene Ponzi or myself, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call to ask your questions. We were talking over the break after that last caller. Jim called in to talk about that dwarf crab apple. We were both a little disappointed that we didn't bring
up. Because
we
looked at each other and said, Serviceberry!
Yeah, great option.
Whoa, the tree of trees. Serviceberry is Amelanchier arborea. It is a small tree. It flowers in the spring. It bears berries in June that people and birds can eat.
So it's yummy.
Juneberry is one of its common names. It is a super performer in the landscape in terms of beauty and biodiversity. And it's a underappreciated tree, but it really
is great.
Everything you want from a tree.
It's great. And
fall
they do
color.
Have, yeah, so there are some cultivars, which, you know, you can have feelings about cultivars if you want to, but they're shrub form, multi-stem. They do have some varieties that are single stem, but they're one of the first things to
bloom
put their,
in the
yeah,
spring.
First things,
wonderful.
White bloom, really good show.
Fragrant.
And yeah, and the berries.
Not stinky like Bradford
I like
pears.
To ask people to describe the berry. What is the berry like for you? How would you describe it?
Oh, it's an explosion of flavor, of sweetness and tartness, and it goes from red to purple when it's ripe. It's purple. Yeah. They're beautiful.
It's smaller than like a blueberry, but it almost has like the texture to me of a blueberry-ish. Mm-hmm. It does have a little seed in it, which I don't mind. It's not an issue. But right now, mine has beautiful orange
fall color.
It is such it's like an orangey yellow, depending on the year. But even in the drought right now, drought tolerant,
yes.
Just so you know, it is a drought tolerant plant. But mine looks beautiful right now. It's really one of the only things in my yard that isn't like brown, like, you know, crappy fall
serviceberry. You will get it from a locally owned garden center. You would not find it at the big box stores because they can't source native species like that work all over the country. And Gretchen, if you're still listening from back at the very beginning of the show, you were talking about wanting to reforest, replant your hillside after you're taking out bush honeysuckle, get some serviceberry.
It's a great
incorporate
one.
That into your landscape. It embodies generosity and beauty and biodiversity better than any other tree. It's
this
wonderful.
Is like the best description of serviceberry I've ever heard.
Let's say it again together. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Serviceberry. That's really dorky too, but I liked it. But great plant. I love it. we're going to go. We have Mildred on the line. Mildred, what's your question?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. One is pertaining to mushrooms that come on the lawn in the fall. What causes that, and is it healthy for the lawn? I have Georgia grass down and all. And the other question is hydrangea bush. I once had a big tree that kind of shaded the a bush, and it was beautiful. But now when it springs up in the spring, it is very poorly, and it's hard to... I was just wondering, how do you get rid of the roots of that in order to plant something else in its place?
That's a great question.
You want to start with a hydrangea, Michelle?
Yeah, so you're saying with the hydrangea, you had a tree removed, and now that hydrangea is not doing well? And you mm-hmm. want to keep that hydrangea, or do you want to plant something else there?
I want to eliminate the hydrangea because it does not bloom and it does not function real well. It does not look real well because of I read once whereas they are used to having partially shade. So that is my concern.
Sure. Yeah. And right now, actually, you know, if you want to keep it and move it somewhere else, you can.
Well, I'm a little older now and I'm not able to do.
Gotcha. So you just want to dig it out or cut it back and kind of remove it. I think the easiest thing to do is just, I know if you're older, it might be difficult just to get your shovel out there. You can kind of cut off if it's something you're not wanting to keep. You know, you could also kind of ask around. I know one of the things I like about gardening is that people like to share plants and give them to their friends. That could be an option to have somebody come over and dig it out and transplant it to their yard. That could work for you. And then your other question about mushrooms.
About mushrooms in the lawn. So Mildred, mushrooms are so interesting. Mushrooms, when they come up, are actually the fruiting body of underground fungi, fungal networks. And you want to have fungi in the soil. Fungi is like the internet of nutrients and everything, communication between trees and plants in the soil. We're learning so much about fungi. So it's not going to hurt your lawn. They are, it's unusual. They're short-lived. Mm-hmm. Don't eat them. Don't worry about your dog or your pet eating them. And when you see them, what you can imagine underneath is like this network of little fibrous communicating roots that are going between your trees and your other plants. And it's just a miracle of life underneath the soil, the mycelial networks from fungi. And then once in a while, they pop up and they become visible.
I don't know if they all make that sound, though.
No, I don't think any of them really make that sound. But no, they're not going to hurt your lawn.
And definitely
it's
not.
A lot of cool stuff going on there, subsurface.
Yeah, most of the time your fungus is not a bad sign. If it's at the base of a tree, you definitely want to worry about the tree. But don't blame the fungus because they're just trying to do their job. But
they're decomposers.
Yeah, the only time I worry about mushrooms, again, if it's at the base of a tree, it could mm-hmm. be a problem. So mm-hmm. thanks so much for your call,
Mildred.
That was a great one. We're going to go next to Charlene. Charlene, go ahead with your question. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, thank you. I picked up a couple of shrimp plants at a plant sale, and they're doing great. But I'm realizing that maybe they're not going to survive the St. Louis winters. Is this something I can dig up, put in a pot, and bring in my house? Or should I just do what Mike Miller used to say and just start over in the next spring?
Yeah. This is up to you. These are definitely annuals here in our area. They will not overwinter. So if you keep them outside, they are 100% likely to not make it through the winter.
Okay.
And again, it's a, you know, people ask if they should bring things inside or not. I don't, you know, I don't have the energy to take care of plants when they come in. They often don't look good. You know, this is one for me that isn't necessarily worth overwintering. Maybe Gene Ponzi might have a different. I would start over if it were me. I would probably compost it and start over with something else next year. But up to you.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for that question. I always, sometimes on those types of questions, I just, you know, it is, you know, if you're into annuals or things right. like that, they're annuals. You're going to put them in annually. I don't have the time or really the inclination to overwinter a lot of things. I just am so busy. Some things really well worth that time and energy. And I like perennials, you know, like
yes.
They
come back outdoors year after year. And many of our native plants are perennials. Yep. They're the ones that are going to do the best at retaining stormwater in your rain gardens or your rainscaping and supporting pollinators and doing that great biodiversity work. I don't have a lot of sun. I don't have a lot of space
either.
Where there's light in my house. So I got to be really selective about who comes in.
I get in trouble for bringing. I mean, I have a lot of plants, as you might imagine. I don't actually have that many in pots, but the ones I do have are kind of big. So they're a little imposing when they come inside. So I am limited by my housemates on what comes back inside. So I try to, you know, just plant. I actually put natives and perennials in my pot. So I say it all the time. I am a lazy gardener and I just don't want to do the work. I want to look at pretty things. I just want to do the work. So.
All right. Very good. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, yes. Charlene.
Thank you so much. Let's take one more quick call before we go to break. We have Sue on the line with a question about coral bells. What's your question, Sue?
Hi, good morning. I did 3 desk pots this summer that I just loved, and they had coral bells and some perennial salvia in them as well as some annuals. Now that everything's done blooming, I don't want to get rid of the perennials. Do I need to put them in the ground or can they stay in the pots?
I had a coral bell, a heuchera, overwinter in a pot last year. Sue, the squirrels actually kind of got it this year, but I think the roots are still in there and it probably will come back. I may or may not take it out of the pot and put it in the ground where I have some other coral bells in a little spot just so I make sure I try to keep it. I think... perennial salvia, too, can overwinter mm-hmm. in a pot. Depends on how much work you want to do mm-hmm. and whether or not anybody's going to try to eat that stuff as the winter goes on.
I think that's a good point.
Okay.
I think squirrels are going to be your biggest issue because they're digging.
Squirrely.
They're burying their nuts and digging up in there. But the other thing you could do if you leave it in the pot, if you put it out like in your garden bed and you have your leaves that you're leaving around it, kind of put some mm-hmm. leaves over it, it can help insulate it. But if it gets watered every now and then, in fact, I had a coral bell on my porch that is covered that I didn't water all winter and it came back this year. Mm-hmm. I neglected it just enough. So yeah, I think that's totally fine to kind of leave those out.
Either or. So you get your choice. Do you yep. want to do it or do you want to not do it? And they're both lovely kinds of plants.
Yep. Good job.
Also, I had the treasure hunt of digging up my sweet potato vines a few days ago. And I'm assuming and hoping that those sweet potatoes are edible.
I don't know. Are the sweet potato
the
ones?
The really chartreuse ones? No, I don't think that is an edible form of sweet potato. I think it's an ornamental. It's really grown for its foliage.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. It's a wonderful treasure hunt every summer.
Yes.
For every fall.
I am.
Have a great day.
Thank you so
Sue.
Much.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, guys, we're going to come back. We have one more segment. We have one person on the line. So we don't have a ton of time for the calls in the next segment. We'll talk with Gene Ponzi a little bit more and kind of recap what the things that we talked about leaving the leaves and the Earthway Center and all of that good stuff. So taking a break. This is the Garden Hotline 104.1, the voice of St. Louis.
This is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are back to our final, sadly, our final segment of this Saturday's Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am from Pointer Landscape, and I'm the host of the show, joined today by none other than Gene Ponzi from the Earthway Center of the Missouri Botanical Garden. We have one call left, I think, and then we'll say that's it for the calls and just kind of talk our way out to the end of the show. But we've got Barb, who's been waiting patiently. Barb, go ahead. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I was wondering if either of you know where I could find the good old-fashioned common lilac bush that has the great fragrance of the old days. Every time I call up a nursery, they usually have the hybrids or they're a newer variety, and they just don't smell, have that same fragrance that they used to.
That's a great question. I do have like a slight affinity for the lilac. It reminds me of my grandmother. It's an old school, kind of tried and true spring plant. We have a lot of good nurseries around here. I'm surprised that there are so many cultivars out in the world. Though, you know what I think the best thing to do is find a friend that has a lilac, because they probably need you to take a little sliver of it.
That's, a cutting?
Yeah, that could be a good one. There's a lilac in my yard, and it is from my grandmother's house. It didn't come directly
over.
Seriously, come on over, it's getting bigger. So my mother originally had the lilac bush in her yard, and then we have over the years have taken pieces. My sister has a piece of it, I have a piece of it, but that's a great way to find it.
So when you do that, what do you cut off a branch, or what do you deal with it?
Yeah, you can just kind of dig it out. A lot of times they'll sucker over. You definitely need a sharp spade or a sharp shovel, but this time of year is a good time to do it. Early spring is a good time to do it, but they'll often sucker over, but they are suckering plants, so they just keep getting bigger from the base, and you could just take a little piece off of it. That's a great way to do it. I don't know. I know that it's hard for me sometimes, because a lot of what I do in my job, we get from wholesale, directly from growers and things like that. But, a lot of places around could even order for you. You might ask to see if they could special order. Any thoughts on that, Gene Ponzi?
Yeah, no, I would go, Barb, to one of the locally owned nurseries, one that's close to you.
Okay.
And see what kinds of plant stock they can get. But that's a great suggestion, to dig up a little piece from someone that you know that has one. I love them too. Lilac was one of my favorite flowers. Before I started to really learn about the native plants, my grandma had them.
Yeah.
That fragrance, it's so ephemeral.
Nothing
like so
it.
It's so beautiful. They don't last when you cut them in vases, but they're just out there in the in our gardens. They're lovely.
Yes.
Try Kirkwood Gardens. Okay.
It's
a great nursery. They have great products. They have a lot of natives there. And they get so many orders in that they might be able to just pop that on an order for you. But Kirkwood Gardens, it's also, I think it changed the name to like Site One, but it's in Kirkwood at like Big Ben and Barrett Station Road. But that might be a good place to try.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
And then if you want to try a new tradition that can go down the generations, we mentioned this in a previous segment, Serviceberry.
Yes, I have one.
Oh, good. Oh, good for you. You know then. That's good.
Good job,
Thanks,
Barb.
Thanks, Barb.
You're crushing it. Barb is
crushing it.
I want to, before we run out of time, I do want to mention, there's a couple of events. There's always so many events going on around town. Today, it's only a couple hours left, but there is down at Seed St. Louis, they're having their garlic and plant sale today. So if you're into to planting garlic, there's nothing else like it. If you haven't had a garden, homegrown fresh garlic, there's nothing else. But Seed St. Louis, It's actually seedstl.org. It's only going on for a couple more hours. But if you're into that, Dig Perennials, it's a local grower. They're down there with other kinds of perennials and I think a few shrubs and things like that. But if you're got a couple hours this morning, you only have a couple hours left. I think it's going till noon. Seedstl.org. And we talked a little bit earlier about the Landscape and Nursery Association of St. Louis that I am on the board of, but we have a horticulture scholarship that we're nearing the deadline on for folks. We are giving out $500 scholarships. We have five to give out. And as of yesterday, we have received one application. We've already extended the deadline by a month, but we're hoping if you're out there listening, maybe you're a horticulture student, maybe you're thinking about taking a class, this would be good for next semester as well. You could check us out on Facebook at the Landscape and Nursery Association. There's information there. Or you could go to our website, which is lnagsl.org. And that's, you got about a week left, but we're trying to give away free money on that one. One more event that I think is really worth talking about. It's called Trick or Tree. It's a great one that several partners are getting together. Forest Park Forever, Forest Relief, the Clark Family Foundation, City of St. Louis, and Commerce Bank. They're trying to get kids to collect donations so that we can replant some of the trees in North St. Louis that were damaged or completely destroyed by that tornado. So a great cause, collecting money. We really want to reforest some of those areas. Forest Relief is just a great organization if you guys don't know about it. And that's Relief, like L-E-A-F, Relief. That's a great organization. But go to trickortree.com if you're an organization, if you're a school, if you want to reach out to them.
Scout troop or...
Yeah. Anything like that we're trying
to... Homeschool group.
Anything that you can, even if you want to sponsor it or just donate, just trying to raise money so we can plant trees in North City to try to, you know, do as much as we can up there. But that's trickortree.com. So we only have about a minute left.
Quick other note about Forest Relief. Today is Persimmon Fest.
Yes.
Forest Relief is having a celebration of the persimmon tree, which is a fruit producer and a wonderful hardwood tree. And that will be from 10 to noon on the grounds of the Scott Joplin State Historic Site, which is Delmar and Jefferson. And Forest Relief is in the process of working toward having a second tree nursery on that site. So today is Persimmon Fest, and you can sign up. You may be able to still sign up on their website or even show up and get a free native tree. May or may not be a persimmon, but I got one at the Earth Day Festival. I like it.
So our guest today, Jean Ponzi. We had so much left to talk about that we didn't even get to. Guys, go to earthwayscenter.org. If you want to contact me, it is Facebook, Instagram. I am STL Plant Nerd. Or you can find me at pointerlandscape.com. Thanks so much, guys. Happy gardening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.